With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Friendly reminder, it's tax day. It's gorgeous outside. Happy spring, Carmen and Yurko. We're live in our ESPN Chicago State Street studios. You can watch us on YouTube. Make sure you follow us. Subscribe to our YouTube page. That's right, the very special and unique Carmen and Yurko YouTube page. We've got our own page. Just search Carmen and Yurko on YouTube.
It is. I'm waiting for us to get some unique content on that, you and me.
I
got some plans and some ideas.
I say we put our whiskey and rum review up on our YouTube page.
Sure.
For our big dual tandem Whiskey U event.
Exciting.
It's like Whiskey U with a side of rum that's happening this Wednesday
it's
at
Wednesday.
Ember's Tap House.
It's Wednesday.
In Lockport. Looking forward to that, my friend.
Side
6:30 to 8:30 with the two of us. This is a big week because Wednesday after the show, we've got a truncated show on Wednesday because the White Sox are, we got some rain rolling in, I guess, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see how this plays out. But the White Sox are scheduled to play a day game against the Royals here. And we're your home for the 2-13 Chicago White Sox. Today, I mean, that day on Wednesday when we're truncated afterwards, it's a very special day, actually.
When you're here, you're family.
Yeah. It's the trip to Olive Garden.
Yes, it is. It's a
Carmen,
long time Yurko, in the coming.
Blank, and Abdallah.
It's a long time in the coming here.
When you're here, you're family.
We're talking about 3 months later.
I'm shocked that this is actually coming together.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't rain on Wednesday, it's happening, boys. I mean,
weather pending.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to rain on Wednesday.
It is. The storms are supposed to come in tomorrow night. Tracy Butler said tomorrow night they could be nasty. Like,
we can't control that, though. That's weather pending.
Carmen's
outside in front of the studio.
I'm praying
doing
for
the
rain, dude. You guys, I don't. Tomorrow night, our Little League season starts. Travel ball has already started. Little League season starts for us tomorrow with a game. I hope we get it in. I'm like, please, sometime around 9 o'clock. Let the rains roll through.
Who's the patron saint of rain? You know, there's like 1,000 saints.
Well, there's a million of them. You know, didn't they pray to Saint Joseph for the rain, Yurk? I mean, I should know better than you.
How would I know? I've never been
to
Sicily.
And that's why they. I've never been to Sicily. That's why they put out the Saint Joseph's Day feast table. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Whoever the patron saint is, right?
And that's in the spring.
It's in the spring.
Yeah.
A quick Google has four different answers.
Who are they? Give
them
to me.
Saint Anne is one of them.
Saint Anne. I'm praying to Saint Anne.
Isidore the farmer.
Of course, Saint Isidore. Who else?
Saint Isidore.
Izzy for short.
Who else is for short?
Let's see. Who else is there? It's patron saint Isidore the farmer. That's like the main one.
That's the main one?
Is like a secondary just in case.
Saint Anne. Who else?
Saint Joseph just for the rain. It wasn't falling.
Yeah, Saint Joseph is mentioned.
Because Saint Joseph, again, they prayed for rain. They needed to end the drought. Saint Joseph delivered. They put out the banquet table.
He's the saint to end the drought.
Yeah, I'm praying to Saint Joseph. I'm praying to every saint that
Saint
it rains.
Saint Isidore,
and that Saint we have to reschedule Anne. Once again.
You have to start embracing this.
No, I don't.
You've got to embrace it. You've got to have a good time with it.
I don't have to. I don't have to do any such
I think we could all have fun if we can have fun, if you can find a way to embrace it.
I promise you we will have fun. And who knows? Maybe I'll take a bite of something and be like, all right, it's not so terrible.
You're not maybe going to take a bite.
No, I'm saying, I'm saying I might take a bite and say, oh, it's not so terrible.
Okay. Yeah.
You're getting the tour of Italy.
I'm not getting the tour of Italy.
That's the point. You have to get the tour of Italy.
I don't even know what the tour of Italy is.
Do we have to go through this again?
It's like Alfredo it's a bunch of different heavy cream sauces. I'm going to poop my pants. We got to go to Lockport afterwards. York and I have to be in Lockport by 6:30.
Do they not have bathrooms in Lockport?
They've got bathrooms.
But I'm going to be in the car. I think I'm going to ride with Yurko. Do you mind?
Yeah, oh, no problem.
Hey, York, on our trip Wednesday, we're going up after the show for Italian food. You guys add in the trip for dropping Bluck and Doll back off at the station afterwards? Because we have to come host our show.
It's on the way.
That hasn't been put in
there. We have to go from the north side to Lockport. It's on the way. I mean,
Lockport? Isn't it west?
Lockport south of here. Southwest.
Southwest.
But we kind of have to come back down this general.
All right, perfect. As long as the free ride is in there, Yurik, then that's great.
It's chicken parm, lasagna, fettuccine Alfredo.
I'm not getting lasagna because I don't eat lasagna, so I refuse.
Wait, what?
What's
that? Who doesn't eat lasagna?
I don't, and I'm Italian. I don't like lasagna. I'm not eating lasagna. I'll eat the chicken parm.
Can I ask a question?
Should I tell him the other part?
Well, but what's the different lasagna? I don't want to be.
What's
the difference
between lasagna
and
pasta with meat sauce?
It's all the same.
I don't like all the ricotta in lasagna. It's not all the same.
Yeah, because you got to worry about the ricotta at Olive Garden.
So you don't like a stuffed shell?
No, actually, I don't. See, Chris knows.
All right.
Because his wife's Italian. He knows. Yeah. I don't
Stuffed shells are great. And it's ricotta.
Yes, it is. I don't like all that ricotta. It's too much.
I got it.
I like it in a cannoli because there's 10 pounds of sugar in it. That's
recently had pizza where they just put ricotta on the pizza and it ruined the pizza.
Oh, so you don't like. Okay, like I can take it in little small doses like that. It's not terrible, but I don't like a bunch of it in stuffed shells or like manicotti.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan.
My favorite part is I went to Danny Zetterman, our director of marketing, and I said, Danny, Wednesday.
Director of content.
Content. Yeah, sorry. Director of content. Sorry. And I said, hey, we're going to the Olive Garden. Expense?
Oh, what did he say?
He goes, Carmen's paying. He lost the bet.
No.
Carmen's paying.
He did say that. He said, it's you lost the bet, so you have to pay for everyone.
Don't make the bet if you can't pay it.
No, it's 100% what Danny said.
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
He's out of his mind.
To pay for it and then get an expense.
This will be expense.
Abdal did ask.
You have to pay for it because you lost the bet.
He's out of his mind.
Carmen's the one that lost the bet.
No, he's out of his mind.
What did Marco do the other day when he lost a bet?
Yeah, but the sandwiches bet was for the sandwiches. Team. The bet wasn't I have to pay. It's just I have to go eat there.
Well, listen, if Carmen's in charge of paying for it, then Carmen can get what he wants when he's
That's
there.
That's fair. You don't have to get the tour to Italy.
You ain't got
to
get the tour to Italy now.
This is being expensed. Danny, you better brace yourself.
I think we should do a tasting menu.
I don't think so.
Do they have a chef's table?
Let's just order like 10 things, and then we'll all just taste it all.
Do they have a chef's table?
What we're going to get is the back table.
Do they have bistecca a la Fiorentina?
I hope so.
At Olive Garden?
Ooh, what about lasagna fritta?
Oh, fried lasagna.
Delicious.
Because, just regular lasagna is not going to do it for you. You got to fry it. Let's bread it and deep fry it. So I'll pray for rain after tomorrow. Like I said, maybe like 9 o'clock and maybe all day on Wednesday. But if the White Sox and Royals play at the scheduled time on Wednesday, we will be making the trip and I'll pay off the bet. Came oh so close to predicting, what did I have to hit, like 80% of the NFL playoff teams? Man, I was like right there on the doorstep.
You were on the cusp of it.
I was a little short.
The NFL's a little bit tougher.
It is. Last year was too easy. It's too easy to pick the NBA playoff teams. Yeah. Way too easy. Could have done it again this year.
Best part of the NBA basketball season is upon us.
It starts Saturday.
The
play-in games don't
garbage.
Count.
They're garbage.
Do you realize the exact same scenario might play itself out here for the Bulls? Like, if they win Wednesday night, they'll have to play Miami because I shouldn't assume anything. Miami's a weird team. Let's assume Philly wins in the first playoff game in the East.
Okay,
Philly
wins.
And the hottest team in the NBA is the 76ers. You're going into the playoffs.
That's because they've got Joel Embiid
back. He's back. So if they win, they become 7. The loser of that game plays the winner of the 9-10 game. So it could be, if the Bulls take care of business as a 3.5-point favorite against the Hawks on Wednesday night, the Bulls would then play Miami again just like last year. And they had a lead going into the fourth quarter, if you remember.
I do remember that.
But they piddled it down their leg, and then Miami went all the way to the finals. Now, the Bulls play the last of all the play-in games on Wednesday. And then, again, they could advance to the second leg of it on Friday. You could come hang with Yurk and me at Embers and still be home to watch the game because we're going to be there 6:30 to 8:30. The Bulls won't tip off until a little after 8:30 Chicago time. You can buy tickets right behind the basket, Chris said, for like $110. Do you want to go from Embers to the UC? What do you think? Me and you? 8:30, 8:40 tip off? What do you think? What would I have to do to get you to go to that game?
There's zero possibility. There is no possibility for me to go to a Bulls play-in game.
There's
absolutely
not even like
none.
I don't think there's anything that can tempt
Zero,
you. Seriously,
nothing.
I don't think there's anything
Next
I could do.
Next time they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is the last game that I saw them play, Eastern Conference Finals down in Miami. The next time they're back in the Eastern Conference Finals,
that's
will be
true.
The next time I go see a Bulls game live.
We were there for that.
Yeah,
we were there for two of the games, right?
Yes,
we saw
we
both
were.
Games in Miami.
Yes, we were.
You couldn't get me there either, to be honest. No. I mean,
it's on TV. I'll watch it.
It's on TV.
All right, I'll cross off Sweeties in the Suite for next February.
Yeah, I would. I mean this game. I mean Wednesday.
The station.
Like if somebody called and said, "Hey, I've got an extra ticket for Wednesday night," I'd be like, "It's a Wednesday. I'm in Lockport, and 8:30 tip. I'll go home. I'll watch it home." If I doze off on the couch, I doze off on the couch around
10:30. You don't even care.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I got.
You don't care. Eyes are shut. You don't care.
I can't really muster up the energy for that. And there's nothing as good as Trae Young. I don't know. I shouldn't say as good. As much fun as Trae Young can be to watch sometimes, that Atlanta Hawks team is just like, you talk about boring and uninteresting. Not that the Bulls aren't. I mean, obviously the Bulls are, considering their record. It's just boring. It's like, that's a bore fest. Bulls and Hawks is a bore fest. Sorry.
I'm looking to teams in the West play. I'm looking to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals with whoever they're going to have to take on.
Even Lakers-Pelicans. Like, sign me up. Okay.
Intrigued about Milwaukee and what will they be able to do?
They did not look good going into the home stretch here, Yurko.
They're limping in. Oh, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Or is there?
But like Heat-Sixers in the East. Okay. Yeah. There's some fun redeeming qualities about even it's a plane.
You can live with that.
Lakers Pelicans. Yes, sign me up. That's tomorrow night. That looks intriguing. That looks good. I'll watch that.
Well, that's defending
Bulls Hawks.
That's defending in season champions, LA Lakers, right?
That is the defending
in season tournament champions, right?
The defending in season tournament champions.
That's right. Remember that.
We have a good giveaway today for everybody. If you want to do something good for charity, and if you're a big Hawks fan, big hockey fan. Old friend Marian Hossa is in town this week, Yurko. He was at the game last night. Or was that? Yeah, it was last night, right? Good old number 81 is in town hosting a charity event that is going to benefit the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to end pediatric brain cancer. That sounds good. Good work by Marian and the people that have put this together. It is an event that's happening at Morgan Manufacturing. That is a great space in the West Loop here. At 401 North Morgan, you can buy tickets on Eventbrite. So if you go on the Eventbrite website, just search Marian Hossa and the event will pop up. It's an intimate night with Hockey Hall of Famer Marian Hossa and friends. Again, trying to raise money for the Ross K. McNeil Foundation to end pediatric brain cancer. That's a worthwhile cause. Brian Bickle will be there. Dustin Bufflin will be there. Andrew Shaw will be there. Pat Boyle is sort of our good friend Pat Boyle is emceeing the evening. And Marian Hossa himself will be there. So you can buy tickets. They are going to close that Eventbrite site soon. So if you're interested in going, Wednesday night between 6:30 and 9:30, you can buy tickets. We have 2 4-packs to give away, and we'll do that later in the show. Maybe we'll give away one four pack, this hour, and one during the 1 o'clock hour. You can ring us up today to talk about the weekend, Masters, baseball, new NFL mock drafts are out that we want to get into. It's all on the table. We're a little less than 2 weeks away now, Yurko. Thank goodness. From the start of the NFL draft, you know, there's a bunch of voluntary workouts going on around the NFL right now, as well as players get back into buildings. And we'll talk about all that today. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Yurk. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
De La Cruz in the air. Deep right center. Gone. He knew it. That was a strike-a-pose moment as he pointed to the dugout. And a good amount of Reds fans here give a pretty loud roar.
There were a lot of Red fans there Friday night. I was in the building on the south side. I won't spend too much time on this, but I wanted to talk about Friday. And this has not got really nothing to do with the White Sox. I mean, they're off to their worst start in franchise history, Yurk, through 15 games. They've got 2 wins. That's the fewest in MLB. They're a minus 51. That's the worst in MLB. You know how many hits and walks the Reds had over the weekend in a 3-game series? You have any idea?
Hits and walks. Reds had against the White Sox over a 3-game series. I know they were outscored by a ton of runs.
Yes, they were.
I will say three games, 60 walks and 60 runs.
Not 60. I mean, my God.
60 hits and walks.
No, not that much. Jesus.
20 a game, I thought. No?
It's 48. That's an absurd number.
Well, I went for absurdity because I know they were outscored like 27-5, right?
Yes, I think it was 27-5. Eight stolen bases, by the way, too. But I just want to say something about being there on Friday. I took my son Friday night. There were a lot of Red fans. I mean, I saw two guys come out of the bathroom with their
same time,
at the same time,
same stall.
Reds fans with their faces painted. I was like, "What? What?"
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, jeez.
Sorry, phrase it the wrong way.
Faces were painted.
They came out with their faces painted, and I'm like, "It's April," and I didn't know what was happening. I'm like, "Wait a minute, is this for real?" There was a huge contingent of Reds fans sitting section next to us. But I took my son. He loves Ellie De La Cruz. And so I said, last minute, I'm like, let's go. Let's just go. It's going to be a nice night. Like, let's go to the game. It's a 6:40 game. And we sat down. We had very good seats. We sat down the first baseline, just a little bit, you know, into the outfield. Fifth row. It was great.
Fifth row.
Ellie De La Cruz hit that home run that you just heard there. That was after a single he had in his first at-bat.
Nice, Carl.
He hit a three-run homer.
Yeah.
He hit an absolute, and I love it, my son calls it this now, too.
A blank whistle?
An absolute, can we say it? Can I say piss whistle?
I'm not going to say it.
Can I say that? Adam? Now, he made an out. He hit it 104 miles an hour off the bat. He just happened to hit it right at Robbie Grossman. His home run was about 111 miles per hour off the bat. It was a no-doubter. He's got tons of flash, tons of exuberance. He's 6'5". Everything looks so smooth defensively. He made two nice defensive plays. You cannot take your eyes off of him. And I know he struggled the rest of the weekend. Look, he's got a lot of swing and miss, and I don't know what he ultimately projects to be. Will he truly be great? I don't know with all the swing and miss he has in his game. From an excitement standpoint, he's got everything you want and then some. You cannot take your eyes off of him. And my son talked about being there on Friday night all weekend. Baseball truly does need more of that. We picked the right game to go to. He did kind of have a quiet weekend after that.
Right.
And I heard Len say as we got in the car, we left in the top of the ninth inning. We left in the top of the ninth. I mean, they were getting their brains beat in. I'm like, let's go. And I heard Len say on the broadcast, right here on your home for White Sox baseball, you know, he said it was Ellie De La Cruz's night. It was. And baseball needs stuff like that. They need young, vibrant stars like that. It's good for the game. It's good for teams that go on the road like that, a team like the Reds that can attract a crowd that maybe normally wouldn't have been there on Friday night. Listen, the place wasn't packed on a beautiful Friday night. Make no mistake. You know, go ahead, make your White Sox jokes. But there were a lot of Reds fans. Two guys had their faces painted, which surprised me a little. And it was great to be there at the expense of my White Sox. Baseball truly needs more of that. They need more players like him. I hope he's as good as... Like, I hope he can maybe cut down on some of the swing and miss stuff that might make him just an otherwise ordinary player. It'd be great if he were special because he's got a lot of the characteristics I think that you need. Baseball should be starting its season today. I've said this for a while now.
Yeah,
they don't listen to me.
Weather's great.
Well, it's listen, you get out of some of those miserable late March, early April games. Not that we're not going to have bad weather still. I know we will. I know this isn't here to stay. It's not June. I get it. This weekend was fabulous. I think people took advantage of it. Baseball should be starting its season today. They should shorten the season. They won't do it because owners won't do it.
Yeah.
But they should shorten the season. I've told you my reasons why. I think I've laid it out in a pretty precise way. They shouldn't be playing as deep into the NFL season as they do. Nothing can compete against the NFL anymore. Their World Series, their championship series should culminate before Halloween weekend and into November, when really all we're doing is focusing on football at that point. I think they'd get a little bit more of the spotlight if they did it that way. But they should start it later, they should end it earlier, and they should start today because it is Jackie Robinson Day, and everybody in baseball will be celebrating that. Jackie is probably the most significant and important player in baseball's history, maybe Babe Ruth, for what he did for the popularity of the sport at the time. But Jackie Robinson's probably their most important and impactful player, most important and impactful person that the game of baseball has ever seen in its 100-plus-year history. They should start it today because they all do a great job celebrating Jackie's life and times and his legacy. Anyway, this is when baseball season should start.
Thank you. I'm glad you and your son had a great time watching Cincinnati play.
We did.
It's hard for me to even talk about the White Sox because of how pitiful.
You're right.
And crappy they are.
I tried to focus it more on the Reds.
Now have a new game.
What's that?
I want to play.
Because 7 or 70 got smashed to smithereens.
Yeah.
Yurko's like, boy, I didn't think they'd have 7 again like they did on May 1st. He goes, they'll be lucky to get to 5 by May 1st.
Well, that's my new contest, Carm. If you just give me a moment to speak here. Cinco or Cinco de Mayo?
That's great.
Huh? Can we do that, guys? Cinco or Cinco de Mayo?
That's a great.
Will May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, happen before the White Sox get their 5th victory? Now, I will let you know, and I've got it here in front of me, 3, 6, 10, 13, 16, there's 19 games to Cinco de Mayo, right?
19 that looks right, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Can the White Sox go 3-15 so before Cinco de Mayo, they make it happen?
In those 18, 19.
Can they go 3-15 in their next 18 to make it happen? Cinco or Cinco de Mayo?
I mean, they've got Kansas City for 3, and KC's played pretty well. They go to Philly for 3. Good luck to you this weekend, right?
Well, this team is, you know,
they've got Tampa on the schedule. I don't know, man.
This team is pretty consistent. They can't win on the road, and they can't win at home. So they've got one victory on the road, one victory at home. So they're consistently bad. But
you see that lineup, Yurk, they're trotting out there?
Or Cinco de Mayo. That's the contest.
That's a great one. I say we run with it, and I'm going to say, oh, boy.
That being
said, Cinco de Mayo is on a Sunday this year, so they
would
the win that day count?
No, the win has to happen before Cinco de Mayo.
So it's 18 games then.
18 games. Can they go 3-15? Can this team go 3-15 over the next 18? I don't know if they can.
I'll say no. Not looking at the schedule, I'll say no.
I say they fall short.
Yeah.
You know, baseball's weird.
I know.
There's going to be a couple of victories in there, whether we like it or not. There'll be a couple of victories in there.
There always are.
Yeah.
Like, watch them win a game in Philly this weekend just because baseball is goofy. Right, you're right.
Yeah. And on the other side of town, it is shocking that the Cubs aren't 15-0. I'm shocked.
Why are you
being
a smart
ass?
Hey, your
Cubs. 42 wins, are they still on pace for that, guys?
You're winning that bet then some, my friend. Huh.
They're on pace for
I don't know, what are they on pace for? Do the math real quick. 2 out of 15, they've played 15 games, right?
17, 10, 21, 22 victories.
Something like that. That sounds about right.
It's 40, pretty good.
42.
If you're going to be bad, be historically bad.
You like baseball numbers, right? Yeah.
I do.
For the team right now, what do you have for leaders in war?
Oh, for the
Chicago
White Sox,
yeah.
That's a great question.
Negative what?
I'm guessing Garrett Crochet leads them in war? Or are we just doing position players? Or just
The whole team.
I'm guessing.
The organization.
Garrett Crochet.
Where's the milkshake?
Do you even know who leads them in war?
No, that was all set up for the joke, for the milkshake.
That's pretty good. The milkshake.
The milkshake's the most important thing to the team right now.
Yeah. That's all they care about.
Gio said the new chicken sandwich was really good. He got the chicken
sandwich. Is good. I'll give him that.
He said it was good. He really wanted to get it, so we got to go to 140. So I said, all right, let's walk. After Ellie's first at bat, we walked over to 140. We had a hot dog and we got in. Got to give it to the kid. He can eat. And I was like, a chicken sandwich. I said, we just had a hot dog. You want a chicken?
Yeah, you're at the ball game.
He said it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, he really liked it. It did look good. I'm not going to lie.
Dominic Fletcher is your answer.
Boy, he can't.
Milkshake
even
too?
He can't. I'd say it's the milkshake, the chicken sandwich. I didn't even have a bite, but it looked awesome. I did have a couple of his fries. The fries were good. I stole a couple of his French fries. And they do the good thing, too, where they don't put the tomato and the lettuce on it and let it sit there. They wrap it separately so it doesn't get all mushed. And then they let you take it. You could put the lettuce, the tomato on there.
Maybe the chef should be in the dugout. I mean, this guy's got it all
covered.
Maybe
he should be. But the chicken sandwich is apparently phenomenal. Gio loved it. And the milkshake is definitely phenomenal.
And you're right, Crotchet, .8.
Is it Crochet?
Yeah, the pitchers. Yeah. It's Crotchet and
Kopech?
Who's the other guy? Michael Kopech. Yeah. So there you go.
It's pathetic.
That's who they are.
It's pathetic. It just is absolutely pathetic. Your team is
Your team's good, first of all.
You know, it's painful that, like, I have to... I won't say I get joy because there's no joy for me, but at least I can watch some decent baseball when I put the Cubs on.
It's true.
And I watch Cubs games for work. So at least I can watch some decent baseball on one side of town because the Cubs play some decent baseball, Yerk. The two double plays they turned in critical situations yesterday afternoon in the seventh and in the eighth. Mm-hmm. Boy, your middle infield is something.
Oh.
I am a little envious. You can't help but
Swanson
be.
Swanson and Horner.
Dude, yesterday was smooth.
It's pretty good over there.
I mean, Horner is a wizard over there.
Can I give you your offensive leaders for the Chicago White Sox?
In terms of?
Batting average.
How about like OPS plus? Batting average? What year is it?
I mean, I can go to OPS. I don't have OPS plus on
I just
this.
Liked Yurko's response to you. Carm gives like a real meaty stat. Batting average.
I don't care.
Meantime, I'm trying to like talk to him about his team. You know, like.
Gavin Sheets' OPS is 952.
He's the leader.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, 952. Gavin Sheets.
Yerk, it's comical. We got a few phone calls rolling.
You got a bad baseball
team. Sit tight, guys. We'll grab some of your calls. I also want to go over some new mock drafts with you. We've got a national one and a local one. One from Field Yates, one from Brad Biggs.
Two home runs lead your team right now.
I know.
Two home runs.
But Michael Bush has almost as many home runs as the whole team.
Two more than Ian Happ. Two more than Ian Happ.
Yurko,
switch hitting thunder stick of a fella.
Michael Bush has almost as many home runs by himself on the north side as the entire White Sox team. It's terrible. 312-332-3776 for Carmen and Yurko. Ring us up. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No.
We'll grab some calls here in a minute. Yurko hit on something genius. 7 or 7, he got blown to smithereens, so we'll play Cinco or Cinco de Mayo. Then we got to think of something after that. We will. We'll continue to make fun of them.
I don't think we're going to have a choice.
We'll make fun of them still.
Then the next one, when will double-digit win come?
Yurko, what about 4 or the 4th of July?
Well, that's my point, though. I think that we're being realistic here.
That's funny.
You know what I'm saying? 7-70 was realistic, we thought. Now we lowered the bar down to Cinco or Cinco de Mayo. I just think that's natural. That's the next thing that takes place after that's Memorial Day.
Yep.
And we can think about something maybe fancy for Memorial Day.
Holy cow. Mike is in, what is that, Sominuk? What's that?
Sominuk.
Where's Sominuk?
Up in Michigan.
Sominuk.
Oh, I don't know where that is.
No, Sominuk's west of Sandwich.
Yeah, west of Sandwich.
Yeah, close.
Michigan, west of Sandwich. Saugatuck is in Michigan. My fault, Saugatuck.
What's going on, Micah?
Exactly. Oh, not too much. So, first-time caller, long-time listener. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I wanted to give you kind of an update of my experience at the Sox Park on Saturday. So, took my 3-year-old son, his first ever ball game. And I'm a huge Reds fan. I grew up in Southern Indiana.
Okay.
And so it was a beautiful day. My wife and I decided to buy tickets early that morning because we're like, hey, you know, weather looks great.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. And then one of my main things I wanted to do was get a milkshake, you know, because the Sox, the team's terrible. So I got to see my team. We did not get one because apparently they only sell 250 a game.
That's right.
And I did not know that. And so I was using the ballpark app to try to find the stand or wherever they're sold. And I was going to the different ice cream stands and whatnot. And I was waiting in line, and I asked the lady if they had the milkshakes here. No, she said they're over by the Vizzy Club or whatever.
Yeah.
But they only sell 250. So she said, head over there and hopefully you get one still. Because that was like, I don't know, maybe the fourth inning.
Yeah.
And
can't wait that long.
I had no idea. So it was a huge bummer. But my son, he's 3. He had a great time. I probably only watched like half an inning of the game because he wanted to do stuff. But he got to meet Southpaw, and he had a great time.
See, that, Micah, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the phone call. That's why it's fun to go. The park experience is good. The Vizzy Club is where you have to go, but you better go when you get in because they only sell a certain amount. And I'll tell you, I'll give you the inside scoop.
There's only so much ice cream.
Pun intended. It's not that, Yurko. So it comes with, you know, part of when you spend $20 on a milkshake, you at least get to keep the commemorative.
Oh,
the vessel in which the sundae is made.
Sure, sure.
It's not glass, it's plastic, but it looks like an old soda fountain.
Soda fountain thing, yeah.
What they do is the top of it, Yerk, is
dipped in melted chocolate and then frozen.
Oh.
Because of that,
there's only so much room.
They can only
so much freezer space.
Exactly.
To the chocolate.
They can only make a certain number because they have to dip it in the melted chocolate and let them freeze and then keep them frozen. So they can't. So that's the one issue.
That's $5,000 a day. They're, you know, $5,000 a day they're making off of that. You think at some point they could buy a freezer?
Well, because of the popularity of it, they might have to.
I mean, I think they'd make their money back.
It's the only attraction down there, the chicken sandwich and the other team and the milkshake. That's the only reason you go.
Yeah.
We're going to see the Dodgers when they come into town.
Who's we? You got a mouse in your pocket?
You said you'd go.
You're at.
You said you'd go.
I don't want to swear on the air.
Witness.
You're right. I'm taking Gio to one of those games in that series, too, because he wants to see Mookie.
Call him Yurko when you take him. It'll be like I'm there. Just come. Chris, hey, Yurko, you want a beer?
Chris and Adam are going to come with him. We'll be like, Gio's coming with us instead of Yurko. That's fantastic. Will's in Southwest Michigan. What up, Will?
Hey, guys, kind of ironic. I'm actually traveling from Saugatuck to South Haven right now.
How about that? What a coincidence.
But I was just calling because last night you guys were talking about numbers, and I love numbers, and I love baseball, and the White Sox are terrible. And I was looking how bad they are. Their run differential is awful. They're like negative 51, and the next worst in the American League is like negative 28 or 23 or something like that.
Negative 23.
Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like double. I mean, they're double.
Yeah, it is. That I've always judged teams off the run differential. I think it's a great like point to look at, and that says everything you need to know, man.
Yeah, they're awful. And Will, thanks. And it's a little, you know, like it's pretty randomized still right now because it's so early. But like, yeah, to be a minus 51 even this early is wacky. And yeah, that could change quick if you were a good team. They're certainly not. So I would only anticipate it getting much, much worse. Dean downtown. Dino, what up?
Hey, so as resident food expert, by the way, I tried to call Shane Norling earlier, and he hung up on me. He was like, no, I don't want to talk about this. Call another show, because I tried to talk about something food-related. But this is very akin to that donut ball place you love, Carm. Sodakoff instructs those people to only make a certain amount of donuts. He loves selling out by 9:15. It generates buzz. So. Yeah. Don't think for a second that they don't have the freezer space. They're trying to generate buzz, sell more tickets. And very quickly, I heard them talking on Friday about making bacon. Meller was saying how you smell like bacon after you cook it. If you're making bacon properly, don't do it on the stovetop. Bacon comes out best in the oven in a baking sheet. Put it at 400 degrees. Put it in immediately. Don't let the oven preheat. Put it in for 20 minutes. And it'll kind of render it in its own fat. If you don't have the time for that, do it in the microwave.
That is actually the best advice Dean's ever given. That is true.
Do you know what the extra tip to that is?
What's that, Chris?
Take another baking sheet and place it on top of the bacon. So then when it's done, the bacon strips come out flat.
And they don't curl at all?
So then you get the flat. Yeah. That's how restaurants get the flat pieces that they put on your sandwich.
Excellent. You hear this? See what you just got here, folks? That's those are two great tips. And yes, if you have the means, cook your bacon the oven.
My point with Dean, you've got to allow him on so his certain levels of exceptionalism can come out.
Right.
Because he's not right all the time.
You got to let Dean shine sometimes.
But every once in a while, he's going to have a gem.
Dean takes a lot of shots at Shea. I understand why he hangs up on him.
Me too. I mean, we always put Dean on. We like Dean. He busts balls, but he's always all over Shea.
He's a ball buster.
According to John Greenberg, they upped the production of milkshakes.
Oh, is that right?
400. And they still sold out in the 7th.
Have we put in a request
for a milkshake?
To interview the milkshake.
We should
talk
to
get.
Can we talk to the chicken sandwich while we're at it?
Last time I texted the milkshake, they didn't respond. So
Could you imagine?
Like when Gene Greco interviewed the horse.
That's right. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
We should just get one and put it in the studio and interview it, Chris. That's a good call. Here,
it's the best thing happening for the Chicago White Sox right now.
It's painful.
Can you hit?
What's your OPS? You go see the stars. If you like baseball, there's still reasons to go. You know, like as evident by my fun night there on Friday.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
It was good. It was
especially
good.
You spend time with the boy.
And when you're spending time with your boy,
did you let the boy watch?
I let the boy let him watch
baseball. Baseball, it was.
He's got to learn. You know, when you're 100% right here, right, Yurk. You're these moments are fleeting, right? You know it. Your boys are grown.
We went to a lot of games with our kids. Hockey games.
Right.
We went to White Sox games. Yeah.
And, you know, like to have my son say to me on the way out, we were going through the list of all like the boxes he's checked, the players that he's wanted to see. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
We've seen Shohei play live. He's seen Mike Trout play live. Now he's seen Ellie. We were talking about the guys that are still on the list. We got to see Nando play live. We haven't done that. I feel bad. Do you know I've never taken him to a Bulls game? He has yet to go to a Bulls game. He's seen one NBA game, and we were on the road somewhere when we saw it.
Sure.
He really wants to see LeBron. He foolishly calls LeBron the GOAT, but they're young. They don't know any better.
They don't know any better.
He wants to. So next year, I'm going to have to try. He's 12.
They're stupid.
They don't know any better.
They're stupid.
They're very flawed. They're very
dumb. They'll learn more as they go on.
But he really wants to see LeBron play. So I'm going to have to, when the Lakers come to town next year, I think I'm going to have to try to make that happen.
I don't mean your son. I mean 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, 12-year-old boys. Yeah. They're silly. They don't know any better. But that's a special moment when we're walking down the ramp on the way out, and he's like going through all the guys that, okay, you've taken me to see this guy. We've seen that guy. We've seen Tom Brady play. We've seen this. Yeah. We've seen that. That's pretty good. I like that.
All the greats.
I do. I like that a lot. Do we want John in Barrington real quick on cooking bacon?
I'd love him.
All right, real quick. Go ahead. John in Barrington. Yes, sir.
Hey, guys. Just to relate something that happened over the weekend on the network, one of the network shows, they were talking about Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart, and the ESPN personality who was relating the story said that she learned how to cook bacon from Snoop Dogg because he dumped the entire thing of bacon, like a whole hunk, into the fry pan and just kept stirring it for 15 minutes and said it came out perfect every time just by stirring it.
By stirring?
I did not know. You know, when they start coming apart.
I've seen that, Carmine. There's a bunch of videos online that people do that.
I've never seen or heard of that. John, thanks. Yeah. I've never seen or heard of that. I still sort of support the oven's the best way to do it. But, okay, stir your bacon. Who the heck knew?
Well, just another way, you know?
Just a different way? Yeah. I've never seen that.
It's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
It makes a big mess. 3-1. What magazine are you reading over there?
This is a Chicago District Golfer.
I was listening on Saturday to Tyler.
I'm just looking at a lot of the golf courses that Mike Gilligan. Black Wolf Run and Whistling Straits. I'll be there in the third week of May. Enjoying that.
I was listening to the guys talk about the Masters. Do you want to talk about the Masters a little bit? Coming up,
La Clavelle up in Milwaukee, just a little bit north. So I'm just looking at all the courses. Tullamore's in here. I'll be playing that in June.
I want some of your golf thoughts from the weekend, both playing and watching. At 1 o'clock, we'll talk about a couple of new mock drafts that are out. One of them, a local one's got the Bears doing something interesting at 9.
You know what the bugaboo is in the golfing community about that golf course right there?
Can I say it?
Bolingbrook Golf Club.
I love that golf course, but do you know what it is?
The Live Golf.
Yeah, you had mentioned that to us.
Yeah.
I think during Unhinged.
There's talk about it being there.
I do remember.
I don't know if that decision has been made, but
That's a great golf course, Bolingbrook.
Boy, remember we used to play it when it was youthful, when the trees were just saplings?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do.
They've got room to make that thing lengthy, too.
Very, like over 7,000 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a tough golf course from the tips. It's a very good golf course. 312-332-3776 is the number. We're reacting to everything from the weekend. I do want Yurko's thoughts on the Masters, how that all ended. Scottie Scheffler, a couple of our guys played some golf this weekend too and took advantage of the gorgeous weather. Like I said, at 1, we'll talk about the new mock drafts that are out. We got a national one and a local one. Crosstalk at 2:30 with Waddle and Sylvie. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
His stardom confirmed.
What did he say? Stardom confirmed? Is that what Nance said? Stardom confirmed?
It could have been.
His stardom confirmed.
His stardom confirmed.
Come on, Carm. It's a new golfer there.
Stardom confirmed. Yeah.
You know, he's sitting around in the Butler cabin, and that's what he came up with. Because this guy was the leader heading into the final round. We knew that Scottie Scheffler was going to win. And that's what Nance came up with.
Should we help Jim? What would have been better? Let's see. What could have been better?
That's what he came up with. A stardom. Stardom.
I think his stardom confirmed.
Wait, who was questioning whether or not he was a star?
Isn't he the best non-LIV golfer?
He's the best golfer, period.
Yeah.
There's nobody. He's well, number right, one. He's the number one player in the world. There's not a better golfer.
Like John Rahm went to LIV.
Yeah,
right?
There he is.
Right? Like some other guys who were in the conversation, they went to LIV.
That's
they
true.
Defected to LIV.
Yeah. Oh, he's
even though they're all the same now, right? It's all I can't keep up with it.
They haven't finalized that.
But I saw that they were wearing their little shirts and their little hats during the tournament.
They definitely
that was
were.
Allowed.
Yeah.
Did you see DeChambeau while he collapsed, he had his little hat?
That's right.
Did the LIV guys that didn't fare too well at the end, did they? Or was it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, they finished in a tie for six, both Bryson DeChambeau and Cameron Smith.
And Cam Smith.
I mean, two guys. Good.
What it's almost as if they're not used to playing that much golf.
Six What's up with Rahm? Yeah, like Rahm really kind of
went
to
Dustin Johnson's the one that really played bad. DJ's the one that played really bad.
Yeah.
And then eventually over the course of the tour, Rahm ended up basically catching him at plus nine.
We've seen a couple of guys like do this, right? They come out, they're young guns, they flirt with like potential, I mean, true greatness. And I think it's kind of maybe silly to expect anybody to rip off like that run that Tiger had. But we thought maybe it was going to be Rory. Remember, Yerk? And Rory hasn't won a major in 10 years now. We thought maybe it was Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth's game hasn't been the same
for
years.
Well, he won the Masters in 2015.
Yeah, that's a long time
ago. I mean, next year it'll be 10 years since he won the Masters.
You know, and I know he's won a couple others, too, but, like, it's been a while since he's won a major. So we...
It was Brooks for a moment?
It was Brooks Koepka after back-to-back, and Brooks is still awfully good and won a major last year, but, like, I don't know, we haven't... Again, maybe I'm being foolish to think that anybody can come close. It's just too competitive these days to doing what Tiger did, accomplishing what Tiger accomplished. But can Scottie Scheffler be that guy? I tell you, when he makes putts, he does kind of look unbeatable, doesn't he, Yerk? Like, his ball striking is just incredible.
I think in the final round, he sunk a birdie on three. That was, like, from 45 feet. And then came back on four, bogeyed four, and missed, like, a six-foot curler, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, when you're canning 45-footers and you're making most of your stuff within 10,
right,
it's going to be a difficult time to beat you. Yeah.
Because he's so good.
And he's long, too. He's long off the tee. Nobody can deny he's long. Yeah. He strikes the ball well.
But you're not kidding about his feet.
His feet are dancy. I love them.
It's pretty wild, isn't it? I mean, those things are all over the place.
Absolutely.
Like, how does he do that? Did you enjoy the weekend?
I did.
Yeah,
did you? I did. The trials and tribulations, all of it. The ups and the downs for everybody. I mean, in essence, the score that was leading on Thursday, you finish in second place if you can just maintain it.
Right.
With the average golf, but
that's right.
Conditions were crazy. The low round of the day on Friday was 69.
Right.
There were a couple of days that the scoring wasn't phenomenal. Even Saturday, the scoring
it
wasn't
was not phenomenal. It's true.
So yesterday was the day that maybe you can go ahead and get it, and you had to do it. Either you did it or you did not, or you failed at doing it.
So. Amen Corner gets guys again, right? And I mean, Oberg goes with the bogey at 11. That was it a double? Did he make double at 11?
Yeah,
I think.
Was it Morikawa that put the one in the drink on 11?
That was brutal. Yeah. And like, it just, that'll get you. And when it was all said and done, it felt like those last six, seven holes, it was going to be a cakewalk. That Oberg's a good story.
17 and 18 is not a place to go get strokes either.
No.
You're not birding. No, most of the time, you're not birding 17 and 18. You're praying to the heavens you hold par.
Right.
And you put a score in, and you can take a deep breath.
Even 16, right? I mean, it's a par three.
Depends where the pin position is, because you can aim to the right, and it can come back down to the left.
Yeah, that's true.
The historic Sunday pin.
It feels like that last opportunity is kind of 15, though, you know, if you're really going to get after it.
Well, it's 13 and 15.
Yeah, 13 and 15.
Yeah, survive 14, 13, and 15. You go 3-4-3, you make noise.
Right.
4-4-4, you're still making a little bit of noise, but
right.
The one that really makes the noise is the 3-4-3 when you can do that.
Mm.
And I'm just giving you a par on 14. I'm not even asking for a lot.
Cap and Hoodie were talking this morning on the show about what HD has done for golf. I think it's helped hockey a lot over the years, too. But, man, that course in HD, it really does just look absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. It is so pristine, so beautifully manicured. Golf in HD is one of the more enjoyable sporting things to watch in high def.
And I will send my, if anybody out there, you know how there's always fraud everywhere. Hey, we can get you down here to the Masters, blah, blah, blah. We'll get you this, we'll get you that, we'll get you that. Anybody that was victimized over the course of the weekend because they thought they had tickets down to the Masters, got down there.
Is that right?
And found out they had bumpkiss. I feel for you. If you need some advice, call me. I will give you a number of a guy where the stuff is legitimate.
That's true. Yurko does
have all the time.
Yeah.
But there ain't no deal. If it's too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
There ain't no deal. You're going to pay out of your keister for it. But you know what you have is legitimate, and you know that you're going to be at the tournament. Yeah. That's all I will tell anybody out there. So best of luck to everybody. Right. Oh, the other guy, Patrick Reed, finished tied for 12th.
Okay.
So the nine guys they made that were there, three of them actually made a little bit of noise.
Third of them kind of.
And Reed played well on Saturday and Sunday to kind of minimize it. So.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk about some new mock drafts. We got phone calls rolling in on a few different subjects. You can ring us up, and we'll get to your calls at 312-332-3776. But two new mocks to go over. We'll talk some football coming up. We're back in 2 minutes.